In the name of Jesus, amen. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, according to the Gospel of Matthew, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they started to ask, "Where is the one born King of the Jews? Out there in the east, we could see his star. We've come to worship him." Now, Magi, as I expect most of you know, were men, or at least some of the Magi were men who could read the stars. They could look in the heavens and make sense of them. And that much explains why, when something unusual appeared, they paid attention. That much explains why, when a star rose that they did not expect or could not readily explain, they sought to make sense of it. And when they made sense of it, that explains why they acted on it. But it doesn't explain why they ended up in Jerusalem asking for the one born King of the Jews. Matthew doesn't tell us. Matthew doesn't even suggest how they would have known. They just did. But these were Magi from the east, from places like Babylon. They may have been Medes or Persians. And the Jews would have been known to them for hundreds of years. And they were, of course, the Jews all over the known world. And people interested in the stars would have been interested in what they had to say about life, politics, kingdoms, death. So it's not surprising, it wouldn't have been surprising had they known about this prophecy from Numbers, from Balaam. Now, however they came to know about the King of the Jews, and however they ended up in Jerusalem asking about him and seeking to worship him, what Balaam said a long time ago, a long time before that, to Balak, king of Moab, certainly was being fulfilled in Jesus. Now, if you don't remember, Balaam was summoned by Balak because Israel was on the move. Israel had been in the wilderness, wandering around, getting nowhere for 40 years, but now they were on the move, and nothing seemed to be able to stop them. They went up and engaged the Amorites, Sihon and the Amorites, and they wiped them out. Then they went north and engaged Og and Bashan and wiped them out. Moab, well, that might well have been next. Balak, apparently, takes an analysis of his troops and their weapons and decides, probably not enough. So he reaches for what might have been the ancient nuclear option, get a prophet, make him curse them. So he reaches out to Balaam. Now, Balaam, being a true prophet, doesn't want to do that. But Yahweh allows him to go. As long as, of course, being a prophet, he says what the Lord puts into his mouth. Balak even knows this, but goes ahead anyway. And so takes him before Israel. And what does Balaam do? Pronounces a blessing. When he's done, Balak, "What are you doing? I told you to curse them, and you have nothing but blessings." "What can I do?" Balaam responds, "except say what I'm supposed to say." Well, Balak goes another place, takes Balaam with him, and tries it again, and the same thing happens. No curses, just blessings. And he gives them a third chance. Same thing. No curses, only blessing. Well, under the principle, three strikes and you're out, Balak says, "That's it. I could have given you all kinds of honor, but that's it. Go back to your God." And Balaam's happy to do that, but he says, I have one more thing to say to you. And he says, you know, I can see, but it's not now. I can behold, but it's not near. A star is going to come out of Jacob. A scepter is going to rise out of Israel. And he will crush the foreheads of Moab. This is the word of the Lord. And off Balaam goes. Whether the Magi actually knew this prophecy or not, they were honoring it. A long time passed, and a star did arise. A long time passed, and a scepter did arise. And rightly, the Magi saw, and they believed. Now that's the next surprise. You have this prophecy about a star coming out of Jacob, a scepter rising out of Israel, and there's going to be death and destruction for all that is not Israel. But they were sent on their way, and when they found Jesus, they were overjoyed. They fell down, they worshiped him, and they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why they were joyful, not exactly clear. Maybe they had figured it out. Maybe they genuinely believed. Maybe they were relieved. They weren't like those other Gentiles. They were going to acknowledge the God of Israel. But for whatever reason, the Magi were glad. And for whatever reason, the Magi worshipped. Let me assure you, you can have unalloyed joy. Because the star did come out of Jacob, the scepter did rise out of Israel. And while, yes, he promised death and destruction, for all which was ungodly, all which is evil, all which brings death and harm and violence and wickedness, he also brought grace, and he also promised forgiveness, and he also promised eternal life and salvation. And not just to the people of Israel, but to all nations. Now that's why, of course, we are here today. The wise men, the Magi, saw the star and sought Jesus. But Jesus came and sought you. And Jesus not only sought you, he made you his own in baptism. He not only sought you and made you his own, he has taught you who he is, who his God is, what it is to be his people. And he's done that so that you would enjoy the life of blessing, not destruction. A real life, eternal life, not one of death. A life of peace and joy, not fear and trembling. Now, he's not done, which is good news. Things in this world are not always that good. You know it. I know it. But Jesus will come back and finish what he started. And he'll come back and do it for you. The star will come out again. The scepter will rise again. And against all which is evil, all which is sinful, all which is destructive, all that brings death, there will be judgment. But for you, there will be salvation. For you, there will be life. For you, there will be peace. So like the wise men, like the Magi, rejoice. Rejoice now, because maybe he is still not now. Maybe he is not near, but he will come. and he will come for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.